Today's episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up with the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up to date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. The views and opinions of this program are those of the host, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Bringing you the ag information you need, this is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Market Talk. I'm Mike Pearson, sitting in this week for Jesse Allen. A lot is coming on today's program. We're going to speak first here with Donna Hugh, Senior Risk Manager down at StoneX in Abilene, Texas. And then in segments two and three, we're going to talk with Brian Doherty of Total Farm Marketing. We're going to get his outlook on what to expect here with prices over the summer. He's concerned about where grains could go looking forward. And then at the end of the show, we're going to talk with our friend Naomi Bloom, also of Total Farm Marketing. She's watching for beef demand here in the summer ahead, but also wondering how this could implicate dairy. So stay with us, folks. We're going to cover all of that here in the next hour. Before we jump into all of that, let's take a look at the commodity markets. Donna Hughes of StoneX joins us now. Donna, we've got some bullish moves happening in the grain. Traders don't want to go home short before a three-day weekend.
I think that's right. For now, we're looking at concerns of dryness in the Midwest, and that's giving a boost to corn futures, and a recovery in the edible oils market is helping to support gains in soybeans. And with the wheat market, we're going along for the ride with corn and beans, but we've had some issues with some of the wheat as far as thoughts of abandonment, and also yields that might not be what we thought they were just a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that's the thing, Donna. You're kind of our boots on the ground observer there in the Southern Plains, based out of Abilene. We've seen some forecast or some rain totals come down recently. Is it doing any good for what's left of that wheat crop there across Texas?
Basically what it's doing is preventing some of the producers who are needing to get into the fields to harvest. They're having to wait until those fields dry out just a bit. We have had quite a bit of rain down here, and it seems like the moisture systems just keep coming, one after another every day or so. So that that backs things up a little bit. And then, of course, that starts to get into quality issues and yields and all. So, those that have been able to harvest, they're finding it just a little bit different scenario than what they initially thought.
Donna, what are you hearing on basis there in that hard red crop? Has it been climbing given the fact that we've had such a drop in production?
Basis actually taken off, to the downside, unfortunately for producers, than what we were just a bit ago. We've seen some of the basis come off like maybe 30 to 40 cents. In some areas, I think, some of that has to do with word of the EU wheat coming in to the U.S. Because of pricing. And, then, of course, we're in harvest. And so that's always a time of year where, we see basis come down as well. But, for now, we've got a few things that are pressuring basis. And so producers are just a little bit, concerned about, not being able to get that price they thought they were going to get, maybe even a week ago.
It has been moving. It's been slipping awfully fast. Donna, while we're talking here, you mentioned we're seeing this rally here today in corn, those dryness fears across much of the Corn Belt driving both new and old crop up a little bit. New crop December corn, we're up pushing 530. Is this a point to put any risk management in place?
We've been thinking about that area for a while. I mean, Dease corn has been floating around that $5 level in that very narrow range for quite some time. And, you can always, You can always do something at higher levels, but certainly after being at the $5 level and thoughts of being lower than that as we get through the year on favorable weather, 530 seems to be a good spot to do something.
All right, doing something on the new crop corn, Donna, new crop beans. Is there any point in here in getting some protection in place?
You know, with the beans, again, we've seen a lot of pressure in the beans from those levels that we've come off of, you know, not too long ago. And we've got, you know, some fundamentals in the beans that gives us pause to perhaps, you know, get something done here. But we know that the crop, you know, really isn't made, quote unquote, until August. So we have quite a bit of weather to get through, a couple months of weather forecasts up until then. So producer might want to, you know, get a little bit different plan in the way of beans. But certainly at these levels, if you're satisfied with the price, do something.
Do something. It's time to take advantage and be aggressive here in these markets. This volatility, Donna, it sounds like it's going to be here at least for the summer. Is that your take?
Yeah. You know, I think going down the road, we're going to see a lot of volatility in these markets, livestock, grains, cotton. I think that's going to be an ingredient across the board for a bit.
Well, Donna, I wanted to ask you here, you mentioned the rain that's been falling in the Southern Plains, those systems that just keep coming through. One of the ongoing challenges in the cattle market has been this dryness across the South. What are you hearing from your ranch producers? Are we getting to a point that the herd down there might be starting to rebuild?
You know, I think with, you know, the folks that we talk to, you know, there's been a lot of cattle going to the feed yards, a lot of, you know, liquidation through those seasonals that we see down here through March. And, you know, as far as buying, you know, new calves and trying to make a go of it going out to the future, you know, they're priced pretty high right now. So might give producers a little bit of anxiety thinking, what is it they're going to get down the road, you know, as they're finished out. We've seen a lot of cows going into slaughter. We've seen, cull cows going into slaughter. I mean, probably not too many that are thinking of rebuilding at this time down in this area. And of course, you know, looking at those prices and trying to figure out what it is that's going to happen down the road.
Donna, that's a great point. I've got another question with this rain. I know you work with some cotton producers there across Texas. Has this rain pushed back that cotton planting for the summer?
You know, I think with cotton planting, you know, those who just do it every year over year, I mean, they're going to do it and get it done. But, you know, certainly the economics of it all, I mean, you know, having to figure in insurance possibilities and all of that, I mean, that's coming into play. We've been so range bound for such a long time between that 80 and 88 cent level on the July. We haven't really seen the December push up all that much as of late. And it's all going to come down to economics. And, you know, if anything, if the planting's done, you know, with cotton, there's always the insurance issue and all. So they try to make it work either way.
That's true. With so much to watch as these markets keep moving. Folks, we've been talking with Donna Hughes, Senior Risk Manager at StoneX in Abilene, Texas. Donna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Leave it here, folks. Brian Doherty of Total Farm Marketing when Market Talk returns.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
Well, folks, welcome back to Market Talk. I'm Mike Pearson, sitting in for Jesse Allen this week. We're going to turn the focus back to the markets. We're going to talk grains here right off the bat with Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing. Brian, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. This is an exciting
end of the week and some green that we really get to talk about. We haven't had much of that over the last several months. So nice to see a good, strong finish into a 3-day weekend.
Absolutely. Brian, you mentioned we've got some bull attitudes, at least in the grain complex here today. Corn, beans, wheat, all stronger on the day. What were some of the key market moving facts here for these grains?
There's several. So the first one is weather concerns. The corn market had been kind of compressed pretty hard. So I call that a compressed spring syndrome, that when the more you compress it, the more if it uncoils, it's going to come out pretty quick and maybe even violent. Pretty good week. December corn picked up near 35 cents in the week. I've got 34 and three quarters. That's a pretty solid jump. And it'll get back to the same type of levels that we saw at the beginning of May for closures, close at 534 and a half. The backdrop of the move, though, is weather. Part of the participation is buyers jumping in, but also buyers who were previous sellers who were previously short buying out of their contracts today. So you get what I call unintended purchases. That is, if you're short the market, you run a trigger order or a buy stop above the market to say, hey, if it starts going higher, I want out. Well, those orders get triggered. They're buy orders. They need to find a seller. And if there's a lot of them, it'll put upward pressure. But suffice it to say, it's really the backdrop is really a concerning and developing weather pattern where if you're in the central portions of the Midwest, you really don't have much chance of rain here, at least at the midday forecast, for probably the next 7 to 10 days.
Absolutely. I mean, it is getting dry. We talked last week with Chris Chin on This Week in Agribusiness about the dryness across Missouri. It is a compressed spring, Brian, as you mentioned, but at the same time, it is still pretty early in the growing season. How much weather risk premium can we put into a corn market on a weather scare before we even get to the month of June?
Yeah, it's a great question. So if we look back as a sort of a parallel drying pattern, we can choose to look at what the maps look like in 2012. And we started to see where those, in fact, the maps today might mirror those in 2012 for same time. Same type of language we heard where earlier in the week, prices weren't moving too much and farmers were saying, gosh, you know, doesn't the market realize how dry we are? So yes, it's starting to realize that it is early. And part of the delay rally in 2012, if you might remember, the market bottomed in mid-June and then rallied over $3 in less than 60 days. The backdrop of that was the market mindset that, look, you know, first you got to get in the ground. So dry weather is good. And then if we get some timely rains, you know, we'll look back and say, well, see, that was pretty simple. The rains came and there was no reason to worry. There's reason to worry. There's just significant dryness in Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, and it's permeating a little bit further east. It's early in the season. You've got guys that got corn in the ground 2 weeks, 3 weeks, very little rain, if any. And so it is a concern. Is it a full-blown drought, majorly concerned? I'm not going to fall into that camp just yet, but I'm certainly going to not acknowledge, Mike, that this is beginning to show some signs of a crop that could be on the decline, and reaching for 181.5 bushel yield might look a little bit challenging if you're in regions that are pretty dry. What it leads to, Mike, is a lack of farmer selling. Farmers aren't hedging or selling anything right now.
Brian, is that the best advice? Let's look just at the new crop situation here. We're up 35 cents nearly, as you mentioned, on the week. I've got to imagine that managed money is going to take a look at that. Is there risk in here and time to get some of those new crop sales on the books?
Yeah, so there's always risk to the downside in my world, because I believe in two things. I believe in the farmer. So if I'm going to make a bet, I'm betting on the U.S. producer to get things done. And then I'm going to make the bet on there'll be weather stresses, but in the end, we have enough good weather to produce big crops. The second one might be a bit of a challenge if you're in areas that are dry. If you're listening to this show and you're going, you know, he's not really acknowledging just the lack of rain we have in the forecast. Things are critical here. And from my view, the weather markets really start about now, about the 1st of June. I've always said the 15th. I'll back it up a little bit in the drier spring. This is where the rubber hits the road. What farmers need to think about is, how do I balance myself? How do I, you know, one week I should be bearish, and the next week, you know, it's gangbusters, all hands on deck bullish. What I would kind of encourage farmers to think about, Mike, is really approaching this with a balanced approach. If we get some pop out of here, if we approach 550, 575, is the world ready to chase corn? And so far the vote this winter has been no.
It's not. South America has plenty of supply to meet that demand. So I would be thinking about, how do I sell into this, but how do I also retain the ownership? What kind of a call option or what kind of strategy can I use? Think about trying to manage the volatility rather than outguess the volatility.
That makes sense. Brian, as you look at the macro factors, where the money is flowing here in the financial systems, where does that non-managed, that non-commercial money, where is it sitting here in the corn market?
Yeah, that's a great question. So every Friday, there's the Commitment of Traders report, and that'll give us some perspective from the previous Tuesday of where the managed money sits. That is large firms that are large enough, when they make a transaction, they have to report. So the exchange wants to know, well, who's in the market and why? And so if they're large speculative firms, what we're looking at there is to see, are they flowing in or flowing out? So I don't have today's number yet, which is Friday. We'll get that shortly. So I'm working with last Friday's numbers, which is through last Tuesday. So the markets were down toward the end of last week, and then they've been up this week. So we're guessing at this point that the managed money probably is in short, went short to, in that area of 150,000 contracts a total, which would be a big number short. And then now they've taken contracts off, and I'm not sure what to guess on that. But the way the market traded the last, not the last 2 days, but the last 3 days, we've seen where pullbacks were pretty shallow, a lot of buying coming in. To me, that is people who are short saying, well, I don't want to get out here, but I'll buy back 3 cents lower. And we keep seeing these sort of big buy orders come in and swoop the market higher. And that's how the week ended. So that tells me the funds are probably moving out. Some may be moving in on the buy side. It could be both, or they could be flipping their position where they went from short to long. But I think the key driver of all of this will be the next 14 days of weather. And if in fact we can, you know, turn this crop around, or if some are just going to really have a tough start to the season.
Brian, looking at that old crop corn market, we've got the July back over $6. Is that a level in your head to get any sales on, or is it me just sticking to round numbers here?
I think you're sticking around numbers for today. The National Corn Index price is 625. Basis has been doing the heavy lifting, pulling, you know, corn from farmers. So what I would be looking for, if I've got corn on hand, is to recognize, and we've said this all winter long, one, there is an inverse market. So you don't really want to carry too much corn in an inverted market where they're paying you more for it now than down the road. And then two, if you've got the basis level that gets in that index price, I sell a lot by the calendar. So we're moving into late May, early June. How much do you want to have on hand? If you have too much on hand, continue to reward this market, continue to trickle it out. I know it's not the kind of price you could have got last fall, but that was last fall. This is today. We have to still, I think, make a broader sense assumption that we've got a good crop at hand, and we have yet to see this export market kick in. And whether or not it'll, you know, this is a wake-up call to end users, we'll probably find out more next week.
All right, Brian. Well, let's turn our focus over to the soybean market. Also saw some moves into the green here, 13 to 17 cents throughout the soybean complex. Same story, just traders growing concerned about that dryness in the Corn Belt?
Yeah, beans have been lagging, though. The worry or concern is that the world can pick up beans elsewhere cheaper. And that's been a real struggle for the bean market. The bean oil market has been sort of an anchor on prices as of late. And I know some of your listeners may be thinking, geez, as I look down the road, what about all the soybean oil demand? That's still down the road. It's not today. So that's been kind of the Achilles heel of the bean market. It did recover today, but it looked to be more of a follower than a leader. In fact, when you have, in theory, you should see beans move about 2 cents for every 1 cent the corn does. So with beans not even keeping up with corn, it was definitely a follower today. And the theory could be that some of this corn ground that doesn't get planted in the Dakotas might get shifted over to beans. Some of this corn ground that maybe just is too dry, do you replant? And if so, do you go back to corn now at the 1st of June area, or do you something else different with it? I've got to think the bean market's kind of the sleeping giant right now. It's been sort of hammered and beat up to no end here. And the speculative trade seems to really like to jump on the beans. So we've got a real nice, what we call weekly hook reversal. November beans went lower for the week, but they closed higher than where they were last week. And that's an impressive technical indicator, not to mention the oversold indicators on stochastics and some of these other technicals that would tell you, look, if you're going to stay short, you better be careful. And if you want to be long, you better start pulling the trigger sooner than later.
We'll have more with Brian Dougherty when Market Talk returns.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
We're talking here with Brian Dougherty, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. Brian, the soybean market got moved early in the week by that sale of meal to the Philippines. We've since seen meal prices continue to drop. Does this open the door to more sales here as you look out into the summer?
I think it has to. When you see prices drop at this time of the year, that to me is a risk to an end user if they're not taking advantage of that or picking that up. And we saw bean meal firm today. I'm inclined to believe that the entire bean complex has come under pressure for various reasons, but it's gotten low enough for now and that this market is primed for a recovery. We'll see if the weather next week aids that thought process or not, but it goes back to the forecast, Mike. The forecast right now does continue to suggest the core of the Midwest stays dry. The drought monitor maps got a little bit more critical this week, and the bulls a little bit more, let's say, favorable and coming out of the woodwork. In addition, I think there's a little bit of relief out there, or maybe growing relief. I see the stock market's up 350 points today. That maybe what you're also experiencing or seeing is ideas that this debt ceiling will be, you know, figured out. At least that's to the last of what I've seen, that the arrows are pointing that way.
Because you brought it up there, Brian, we don't have to spend much time on it, but if this debt ceiling thing isn't figured out, and I agree the consensus seems to be that it will, commodities going to be much impacted immediately?
Only in the sense that the speculative interest might want to fold their wings in. There's certain kind of uncertainty the market doesn't like, and it doesn't like political uncertainty. So there might be some negativity in that regard. On the other hand, money looks for opportunity. And if the money says, hey, look, the stock market thing could be problematic, where can I find a bull market? It may quickly look over to the commodities and say, you know, it's getting pretty doggone dry in Iowa and Illinois and southern Minnesota and southern Wisconsin and Indiana. That's a story. We're at a corn price that probably still is close to or below the cost of production. So I'd like to think that there could be a flex or flux of money into the commodity complex, which has been kind of beat up since interest rates have moved higher from beginning last summer, that now it's more about owning the raw commodity and having a bird in hand, especially in front of the growing season. The Northern Hemisphere still produces well over 60% of the world's corn production and exportable crop. Even though Brazil will be a big factor, the Northern Hemisphere is what counts.
The Northern Hemisphere is what counts. But of course, producers in the Northern Hemisphere this year are grappling with that monster soybean crop that's coming out of Brazil. Brian, is that crop at least done growing for the time being? Have we finally 156 million metric tons where that thing's going to end up roughly?
I think so. You know, the USDA may make some adjustments there, but I don't see this idea of a big crop getting bigger and surprising us another 10 million metric tons. That bean crop is pretty much in the bin or close to being in the bin. It's the corn crop where the wild card still exists. You could have some weather market yet there that could be impactful. I would go out on a limb this week and say that I saw any type of real threatening weather to the crop. But remember, Brazil is a country that years ago, the second crop corn was sort of an afterthought. And because some of it got in late, the big concern is that the type of soils that this corn is grown in it can become dry very quickly. So if you run into some warmer temperatures or drier weather in June, still impactful to the crop production, something that still needs to be monitored and watched and it might have impact.
All right. Good thoughts there, Brian. You know, looking back at new crop soybeans, back at the early part of February, November beans were at $14. Early part of April, November beans were at $13. Now we're at the tail end of May. November beans dropped below $12. Any chance we can see any of those handles come back into focus here short term?
Never say never. I think as long as the world feels that there's a crop, it'll be tough to really get a lot of people to chase. And so beans are a little different than corn. Beans are a little bit of a better crop, I think, given the current weather market to grow than corn. That's one man's opinion. But if the market senses that things could get a little squirrely on the soybean production, you know, don't be shocked if that spring, I'll use that analogy again, uncoils rather quickly. Technically, again, looking at something like new crop beans, that slippery slope theory, but they did finish the week higher. So the technicians have something to sort of stand on, and we just need to see what the weather brings next week. Earlier in the year, just to give you some perspective, if I did a, let's say, call it a study, the November bean contract peaked out back in October, and then it rallied back after that. What I often look for is retracements and look at history. So to your point, we're over $14. And if I take $14 beans and I times that by 75%, that's 1050. So history would say it's not unusual to peel off 25% of the value of crop. I'm not that negative, but the point of it is the market's already taken a big chunk of that out. So I think there's a limited downside from here. Farmer selling will slow. And a lot of that circles back to, you know, the end user. And once they see value and the market may stop going down, look for exports to really pick up and in a big way. Importers are no different than you or I. If something's getting cheaper on a weekly or monthly basis, there's no urgency there. There's no pain there. But as soon as it turns, we fear there could be pain. That's where your buying comes in play.
That makes sense, Brian. Let's turn our focus to the wheat complex here. We had both Chicago and Minneapolis wheat perform fairly strong on the day, both up 10 or more cents here. KC wheat couldn't seem to make it happen. What's happening here? What's with the divergence in the classes?
Yeah, I think the news in the KC wheat is last week's bearish reversal on the weekly charts kind of looms sort of large. And I think the traders actually were probably saying, okay, Kansas City versus the other markets probably got a little bit out of its lane, that it's got too high versus the other contracts. And I think you saw this week, I think you saw some spread activity happening. The old saying is a known fundamental is a useless fundamental. So crop tours confirm that, boy, we've got some really crappy wheat. And yet, to your point, here in Chicago, where recent crop tours, I think the University of Illinois was talking about 90 plus bushel yield on a statewide average. Yet up 10, 11, 12 cents today. I think that was the reversal of some spreads this week. I would love to be a little more friendly the wheat complex, but it's disappointed all year. Read an article early in the week about China having increased inventories that they'll substitute in some of their feed pipelines. So you can kind of see why they maybe canceled corn orders. The war is certainly a factor, but it's not a front and center factor. There's just a lot of dynamics. None of them have really been supportive for wheat as of late, other than Kansas City. I unfortunately got to think that Chicago wheat probably has a limited upside based on our current crop conditions.
All right. Things to watch there. Wheat sellers not seeing too many opportunities in the near term, but it is a different story, Brian, when we look over at the cattle complex. Cattle sellers are kind of sitting in the catbird seat right now, continue to see this cash price move. We continue to see futures move higher, close the week, heading into Memorial Day weekend with a little stronger prices. How long can this continue?
Yeah, it's for some of us, the how long can it continue is we're scratching our head because hog prices continue to implode. And at what point does the consumer not chase higher priced beef products and say, okay, it's just I pork is a better value, chicken's a better value. That's been sort of the perplexing thing to me, that we're in a divergence window. And sometimes I have to remind myself the market doesn't move on my schedule. It'll figure itself out. But from a long-term perspective, the cattle market is a supply-driven market, supply declining market. That is, and we all know the story, the drought conditions, higher input costs, demographics, cow calf guys, that have all contributed to these really tight inventories of supply, and the market just keeps grinding higher. So the interesting thing is here, we saw April cattle, which is seasonally a market that has a tendency to be probably the highest of the year, was higher price than where June is. Cash price is higher price than June is. June contracts sort of stagnated the last several weeks, but this week had a really impressive weekly close, a pretty impressive uptrend. So I don't know if there is any good topping signals yet. I would look for things like stochastics crossing over. They have it on a weekly chart. So I'm inclined to believe that the trend is still up. I just don't know if these sizzling hot cash prices can continue. At some point, the retailer just isn't going to chase it. At least I want to think that, especially if you talk about recessionary talk and some of these other variables that lead one to believe that the economy, you know, might be chugging along at a pace that's not really conducive to continue to pay for high-priced beef.
Brian, you mentioned there might be some concern down the line when grocers pull back a little bit from this high-priced beef. Did see a split today. Fats higher, feeders pulling back. Could that be some concern about maybe the future profitability of these steers?
It could be. I really don't know what to make of today other than I think feeders pulled back because of higher corn. And there's that inverse relationship there. We usually have strong corn days. Usually you won't see the feeders move higher. And so the discount of the live cattle futures to the cash market and then corn prices rallying today, I think that had the feeder guys saying, look, I don't want to get caught with these high price feeders. I think they put on hedges. I think they got out of some longs. I think they recognize just, you know, this corn market might be in a changeover from bear to bull. And that's usually not, you know, conducive to higher feeders.
Brian, before we let you go, any other thoughts here in this market around this three-day weekend or folks to think about as they come back into the office for next week?
You could talk to 10 different people and get 10 different opinions what they think the market is going to do. And then you could look at some of these mathematical models that tell you what historically it has done. The market's going to do what it does. Manage the movement of the market is my point.
Keep an eye on these things and how they impact your bottom line. Folks, we've been talking with Brian Dougherty, Senior Market Analyst with Total Farm Marketing. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Always my pleasure, and my encouragement is everybody, slow down just a little bit. Things will get done, and be safe, and have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you, Brian. And folks, stay with us. More Market Talk coming up.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back, folks. Mike Pearson in for Jesse Allen today. Before we go, heading into this weekend, we're going to talk next with Naomi Bloom, also of Total Farm Marketing. Naomi, thanks for dropping by the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Tell you what, it is going to be the weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend. It is the kickoff to summer grilling season. Naomi here with beef at record high levels. Is this sustainable here going forward for the next couple of weeks?
Well, that is really what the market is watching. We have seen box beef values improving in some aspects. We've seen the cash market improving, but that makes sense. You know, this is that time of year where we're having Memorial Day weekend demand met. We've also got Father's Day weekend then coming up just a few weeks after, and then 4th of July. So I feel like the recent demand is justified. Everybody is anxious to get outside with this nice weather and do some grilling, but my concern shifts starting in late June when all of the 4th of July holiday demand gets met for the grocers. Now, interesting story is that I'm hearing more folks get a little bit more vocal about being tired of paying high prices at the grocery store. And quick example, yesterday at my son's track meet, so it's a sectional track meet, and it's, you know, bringing in four different counties together, people I'm not usually around, and I heard this group of other moms talking, and one lady was like, you know, my grocery cart, I could go in for $350, it lasts me 2 weeks, that same cart, all the same food, all the same everything is now $425. Then she went on to say, you know, and now my kids are going to be home for summer. You know, how am I supposed to feed them? So I think you're going to see the demand in general for beef start to diminish after we get this grilling season met. We're going to see still people buying hamburger. You're going to see hamburgers grilled. You're going to see hamburger for tacos. You're going to see hamburger for spaghetti, but I'm really thinking that the demand is going to pull back. My other fear with the cattle market is that, you know, our export demand, it's okay right for now, and we actually had some decent sales this week, but I didn't know that Brazil's production for first quarter was 5% higher than a year ago. So now my fear is, okay, Brazil comes in and undercuts us for soybean and corn. What if they come in and try to do some cheaper beef exports that could take away some of our demand? So short term, things look good, but I'm starting to get more cautious for once this initial summer demand is met. I'm thinking we're going to start to see the pullback because the consumer is feeling it everywhere, and they're going to really turn to cheaper proteins. I think you're going to see it a lot.
I think that makes a lot of sense, Naomi. So one of the great things about the futures market is when things look good, we can make some sales well into the future. Given that this expected pullback could happen late this summer, are you advising folks to take some aggressive risk management in the live cattle here for fall and winter?
Yes. I just started recommending that with clients this week to be looking at their local cash markets for October, December, February, April of next year. I mean, April of next year, trading at 180, and that's just historic, fantastic value. So, I mean, we know that the story is friendly for cattle right now. I mean, we've been trading that for a whole year. But it's, you know,